And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
We get together, have a few laughs.
Welcome to the Iowa Talk Guys. I'm your host, E-Rock.
I'm your host, TP.
And I'm your host, Theo. Today, we are bringing you another special guest. We just keep getting them. They're can't say they're better and better because they're all great, but this is another amazing subject matter.
Yeah, this one we've been looking forward to it.
And this is, a real serious player here.
This is gentleman. A filmmaker, a researcher, all-around badass individual.
Director, producer,
and podcaster.
A
truth seeker. At heart, our guest is a Mr. Vika Drazev. How are you today, Vika?
Hey, what's up, guys? TP, Eric, Theo. What a pleasure to be here with you guys on Iowa Talk Guys Show. Looking forward for the conversation, guys.
Yeah, man. We appreciate it. So something I wanted to get out of the way just real quick. It looks like, because I just browsed over your LinkedIn profile, it looks like you are in, I had it written down.
Spain?
Yeah, you're on the coast there by Cadiz?
Exactly. The southernmost tip of Spain.
Right on.
Andalusia, yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of it? The Santa Maria?
Yeah, the Port of San Maria.
There we go.
Supposedly where
La Puerta de Santa Maria.
Exactly. And this is what's supposed to be the town from where Christopher Columbus left for the post Christopher Columbus.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy history, man. I would imagine that it's gorgeous. I've heard all sorts of amazing things about Spain. Food is great. The scenery is amazing. The wine is amazing.
Oh, yeah. All around, it's amazing weather. The sun, you're like most of the year, it's sun. The winters are not so cold. It's very close to Africa, right? We are almost on the Gibraltar, very near. Yeah, amazing weather. Food, too. Yeah.
So, also, I happen to notice from going through some of your podcasts that you have reached a milestone of 2 years.
Congratulations,
in podcasting.
Man.
Is that correct?
Yeah. 2 years of podcasting, yeah. And maybe 3-4 years more of content creation, like videos and documentaries, too, apart from that.
Well, it's interesting. It's pretty crazy because we are actually with this we will be celebrating 100 releases.
Yeah, you're our 100th episode.
Vika. So that that's one every week consecutively for 100 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So thanks.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Thanks for being on with us. This is a special one.
Yeah, we were talking before you had even reached out. We were like, man, we need to do a banger for our 100th episode. And then you reached out and all this other stuff. And we're like, dude, this is going to fall on our 100th one. Like, awesome.
This is perfect.
And the other crazy thing is what we discussed. So you made a couple flat earth films. One, Flatten the Curve, which is awesome name for a flat earth film.
Yeah, that's pretty killer.
Yeah. And then The Mechanical Realm, which I got through Flatten the Curve. Excellent. Points of view from pilots and submariners and sailors and stuff. It's wild. That was a great documentary. And then I'm getting through Mechanical Realm. I was trying to get it finished today, but we discussed that we're going to talk about the moon. So this episode's actually going to air April 8th, which is the same day as the solar eclipse here in America that everybody's like freaking out about right now, right?
Oh, yeah. First of all, guys, congrats for that 100th century, guys. I know a lot of work, how much work is required to do a show. Yeah.
pissed off families.
It's amazing that I'm the 100th participant, like absolutely awesome, right? And this is the thing, the documentary, Flatten the Curve, you guys saw it, a lot of professional guys, and you know, so people who are rational gets it, right? And the Mechanical Realm, I don't know if you guys watch it, it's about the really the model of the of the geocentric realm. So if you didn't check out, do check that out, because it opens a lot of new rabbit holes that we could even imagine, right? One of them being the 1400 years of missing technologies, right? So the eclipses and the moon, wow. This topic is going crazy, right? The TikTok is gone crazy with people coming in from every angle, you know. Even flat earthers have very different opinions about the moon itself and the luminaries and the eclipses especially, right? So that's why I'm mentioning the Mechanical Realm, because it's all about, not only about the earth being flat, okay? That for me, it's after. The first important thing to understand this different cosmology is to see if it's heliocentric or geocentric, right? Because once it's proved that it's geocentric, the whole global science just dismantle itself. Because I believe that once we show to them, because nobody can prove what these people are saying about the black hole, the antimatter, the black matter, the trillions of miles away planets, nobody can verify it. That's why all their pseudoscience is all about, right? So that's why the Mechanical Realm I made is for that, because the luminaries are really important. They are really close, right? And they all work as orbs. They all are lights, right? If we see electromagnetic field of the North Pole, which attracts these luminaries going around them, around the North Pole, that is the meaning of geocentric in reality, right? Geocentric doesn't mean the Earth is a ball. Geocentric doesn't mean that the Earth is spinning, right? Geocentric just means that it's around the North Pole, all the luminaries are moving in circle. Why? Because the electromagnetic fields of the Earth are stronger than the electromagnetic fields of the luminaries. That is the reason they work above us, right? So if we take that into consideration, that all these luminaries are more than orbs of light. So if we speak about lunar eclipse or solar eclipse, different opinions by globers, flat earthers, I have my own opinion.
Okay. So, like I said, I haven't gotten through the Mechanical Realm, but it's very, very interesting. What's the name of that clock they found in that ship or that computer?
Exactly. Antikythera Mechanism.
Thank you.
Because
how do you spell that?
Antikythera. Antikythera Mechanism. Antikythera Mechanism. Why is it called Antikythera Mechanism? It's because it was found in near Greek. That's why, because there's an island called Antikythera. But this mechanism in itself is not a Greek technology, right? It's just a copy, a Greek version of a mechanism of a scientific instrument called cosmograph. What is a cosmograph? A cosmograph is a device which tells you in real-time observation what the luminaries are doing above, which is made by gear technology, right? Analog.
It's driven by that one main gear that has like, what, 64 teeth, I think, and so.
Yeah, right. There are more than 30 gears that work relating to one another, right? So gear ratio, right? The same way a simple clock works on three gear ratio of the second hand, minute hand, and the hour hand. So this mechanism has 30 gears and it's doing everything apart from telling you the position of the sun, moon, the star, the constellations. It's telling you the different cycles. It's telling you the eclipses. It has the calendar. It's so complex for it to be made 2,000 years ago, right? And these people try to hide this from us. Why? Why? Because it is a machine that shows that the Earth is geocentric and stationary. If it's geocentric and it's flat, because we don't need to prove to anybody the Earth is flat, because the water doesn't curve. The land doesn't curve. That's why they always want us to point out to the sky, the heliocentric, right? And this machine destroys them, and they have hidden this from us, and they made sure, right, for thousands of years. Imagine having gear technology 1400 years ago. They tell us, they gave us the gear technology a few hundred years ago.
So can you explain how they found these? What, there was two of them on boats, sunken?
No, there was only one of them. But this is the thing. If this accident didn't happen, we would have never knew these people were having this machine, right? They took 20 years to figure out what it is. Even today, they tell the academics, right? Oh, they don't know what it is. They know very well what it is. They know very well. But they don't want the masses to know what it is.
That brings me into a question that has been lingering for a minute or two here. What do you think it is? Why? You know, there a couple of us here on the podcast, we talk a lot, not to speak for you, TP, correct me if I'm wrong, but we would go from a Christian perspective that, yeah, they want to disconnect us from our God, from our creator, from the one that binds this universe together. And it seems to us that everything surrounds just exactly that. They want to obscure the fact that these evil people, essentially, that are running the world, they are not the most powerful in the universe. I guess is kind of, if that made any sense.
Oh yeah, absolutely, brother. That this mechanism shows the intelligent design, right? The intelligent design is not a chaos. It's a art of that creator, right? Can be seen, the stamp of the divine can be seen in everything from the micro level to the macro level, right? It's a perfection. It's not a chaos. They want to sell us that we are a speck of dust in endless space. No, we are the center. We are the center of this creation. That's why, right? We can see that, like, from the spirals, DNA, right?
Yeah, the double helix of DNA.
Exactly. So right from the atom to when you see the whole creation as an intelligent design, where I call it the mechanical realm, because it's whole. It's an even we included, everything that exists in this realm is a kind of mechanism working together to that this whole huge mechanism works together, right? We see we humans or even insects and animals, everything are biological robots. We are mechanics. We are some animals are machine to destroy, right? Right. The insects, the way they fly, the birds, right? It's all about mechanics, right? So yeah. Even if you see the environment, the layer, how this environment works, like the air, the water, everything is moving. Everything is, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Have you ever seen that video where they put together the ocean patterns, the wind patterns and all this stuff, and then they put it on the flat earth and it's just making a giant circle? Everything's rotating clockwise. The ocean currents, the winds, everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is the thing. It's, yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, there's no way that happened, like you said, through chaos and explosion, because all explosions do is create chaos. And nothing good ever came out of an explosion except for a hole that you wanted to be there, right?
Yep. There was also that guy on Joe Rogan a while back. I think his name's like Dr. Stephen Moore. Forgive me that I don't know, but he is a Christian, and also like into incredibly advanced science and whatnot. And he said that something that we've learned from coding is that it degrades over time. So like the theory of evolution in the context of coding, like it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. And like without design, nature would probably be the same way. It's not going to get better from, yeah, single-celled organisms are not going to create something as advanced as, well, animals in the animal kingdom. And then, you know, not to be narcissistic, but us.
That's actually a scientific law as well in the nature world. A man-made scientific law, but it's one of Boyle's thermodynamic laws that everything breaks down over time.
Touché.
Including the Stone Age theory also, right? So it's not possible. You guys have heard about the flagellar motor. Flagellar. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. It shows at a micro level, these cells, they work like a motor with a tail. right? It looks like with pistons and shafts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, now that you say that, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I remember seeing something about that. Exactly. Continue, please.
Exactly. Sorry. So that is supposed to be the creation of the divine also. That is not a random thing that is happening of evolution and nothing, right? It's called descent from Darwinism. There are more than 1,000 academics and scientists who are in the theory of evolution, especially speaking about this flagellar motor, it's called.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. But okay.
Flagellar motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. We kind of bunny hopped off the original topic. We apologize. We do that sometimes on the show here. But
like, no, we could go anywhere, brother.
We were just excited to talk to you, man. So,
same here, guys.
So, getting back to the moon, from what we are told by mainstream science,
Here in the United States, the Nazis that came from Germany right after World War II that developed our space program.
Anyways, but they say the phases of the moon are the sun being on the other side of the Earth, and then basically the Earth casting a shadow on the moon, and that's what's causing the supposed phases of the moon. Is that correct? That's what the mainstream science is behind phases of the moon?
Yeah, some absurdities like that too, yeah.
Okay.
These people, they make up shit, yeah.
So, from my understanding and my research, and I want to get your opinion on it, what you've said, because you said already, you made it clear that there are a lot of different flat earthers have different opinions on the moon. But, like Theo pointed out, him and I kind of have a biblical Christian perspective on some things, and it said, you know, in the beginning, God created, or the creator created, the sun for major light for the day, and then the moon for a lesser light at night. And it goes in phases. We all know this. Actually, we're recording this on April Fool's Day, where the calendars have been changed, and this was supposed to be the beginning of the new year, right? April 1st.
And it's the new year. It's the new year.
Yeah. The moon has phases. Every 14 days, it fills up, and then every 14 days, it empties, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we base that off the clock, going off of a clock or whatever, I guess it would come out to something like 13 months of the year. Every month would be 28 days.
Which we all know anyway. There's 13 moon phases. There's 13 cycles.
Right.
Right.
So what is your opinion on the moon on the flat Earth model?
All right. So this is the thing. The moon is very mysterious, right? The luminaries, all of them are really mysterious. My opinion, right? People... As I said, the flat earthers have different ones. I agree with some, or some with I don't agree. But my take would be, how is it illuminating first, right? We all know that it's not a reflection, right? And as you said, even in the Bible, it's its own light, right? So it's a different thing, right? So I always try to explain to the flat earthers, because they say, the moon is illuminating. The moon is auto-illuminate. Yeah, but how does it do that, right? How does it do illuminate, right? So we have the sun emitting different kind of rays and radiations, right, on different spectrums, right? So one of them is supposed to be the UV radiation. So the moon does also, in a way, charges itself from this radiation. And when it's in the darker time, in the night, it glows, right? If we speak about luminescence, there are different kind of luminescence. Like you have bioluminescence, right? In nature, you have bugs and flies who have green autoluminescence, right? You have fluoroluminescence, phosphoroluminescence. Then you have somaluminescence. So there are different kinds of luminescence in nature, right? So my belief is that this is what is happening, right? It's charging itself. The moon is charging, starting from the new moon when it's zero charge. That's why you don't see the moon in 3 days, right? Because there is no charge at all. Right.
And the crazy thing is you can still see the moon on a dark night if there's no clouds and stuff. It's just not full. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But when it's zero charge, you don't see it. It has to be a little bit charged to see that sliver, to see the rest, because you can locate it, because it's so thin and fine that even on the first days it's very difficult to see if you don't catch it. Right. The first sliver. Right. So from there, even if you see in the Enoch, it says that it has stages of completing those phases. So it charges like 25, 50, 75, like whatever is the ratio, it charges itself during these 14 days, right? So that is one of the way that it charges itself and illuminates, auto-illuminates, right? You can see the sun as a bulb light, and you can see the moon as a tube, the fluorescent tube, soft light, right? It's not warm light. Why? Because it's having that fluoroluminescence effect. Because it's in the night. Because if you see the moon in the day, even if it's almost full, you see it, like, you know, you see it transparent. But for that glow to happen, needs that darkness around, right? So that is one of the factor for auto-illumination of the moon to create the phases. The second and the, I think, the most important factor is the electromagnetic fields of the Earth, of the North Pole. All right. So if you see the North Pole, it's also depicted as a tree of life, right? If you see the toroidal field, the central vortex or vortice looks like a tree of life. So if you imagine all these luminaries moving around, right? So these electromagnetic fields, like branches that they grow, also create those distortion, right? In a way that it doesn't get the full charge, right? So you have these electromagnetic fields playing part, apart from this light phenomena, to make the percentage of charge of the phases. Now, the phases and the eclipses are very similar phenomena, but on a different time scale, right? The eclipse is very fast, and the phases are all over the, right? Right? It just goes on a slower, more or less. That's my take.
No, you're explaining it good. I like what you said real quick, just going back to, you said the moon is like it's a softer light than the sun, right? So have you done the laser thermometer temperature test with the moonlight?
No. There are people who have already done it, right? I didn't do many tests. I did some observation, long distance photography, some of them, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's just an easy one that I would recommend for people to try out. Doing it on a piece of concrete. The moon's been out for a while, hitting it, and have a shadow on there too, or a shadow up on a wall. It's been in the shadow for a while, and you'll see the temperature difference with a laser thermometer. It's wild.
How many times from, you know, something man-made as well, where you take a flashlight, a nice stream light or something like that, and you're out hunting, and you have night sights on your weapon, take that stream light, you can charge them night sights up a little bit, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, get enclose them, put the stream light on them, yeah. Cover them with your hand, and then boom, you've got some good night sights that you can look down.
Yeah,
when it's dark out. So it's also like we always talk about how man is trying to mock God's creation. They're trying to duplicate it for their own sort of undivine purposes, if you will.
What are you getting out of that?
No, just that whatever God has done, the Creator has done, these evil forces that are running the world, they try to duplicate it, replicate it, mock it, make a mockery out of God's creation. So like, you know, the story in Revelation, for instance, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to come, and everything about it is mockery of Christ's time on earth. He's going to be killed, right?
Dead
for 3 days, resurrected. Just but one example.
What does that get into with the moon?
Well, that they're...
Sorry, I didn't see the connection. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
No, it's fine.
I'm confused.
Just that when you charge, it's not only nature where the sun can charge bioluminescent.
Man-made.
I think the man...
has. Yeah.
Oh, then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So these evil people, they are trying to create the same thing. Man-made. Duplicate. Like, yeah, like when we
replicate,
did the...
Replicate. They can't actually create their own stuff, but everything's like a replication.
Yeah, right? So like, you know, I always bring up the resurrection in the end. Well, they're trying to create these forever particles and these free radicals and the shit that stays in our bodies forever, right? So something that will last, something that will be there.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
Right. But it just... further,
I see what you're further, point, yeah. The point you're making.
Sorry, I have trouble connecting things. It happens in my head, but you know.
But you're right, brother. You're right, because the sun, then, for example, even the sun is really important for existence, and they want to say, don't look at the sun. The sun gives you this. The sun gives you that. The sun is the giver of light. The sun is the electric. The moon is the electromagnetic. You need the both the polarities. Absolutely. For this mechanism to work.
Everything, right, is frequencies. Right? Everything, absolutely, is frequencies.
Well, and I've actually been putting together a show called The Plot to Blot Out the Sun, because we actually have, like, the Biden administration has passed some stuff. Bill Gates, that's one of his evil things he wants to do.
The UN.
The UN. They want to literally blot out the sun. You have to pay for it if you want it.
Oh, yeah. It depresses you, right? And even the time change. This is last Sunday. They did that 1 hour time change again here. You know, it's just to screw the bio clock of the people.
They do that in Spain? They do that in Europe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just Sunday. This Sunday, we had to add 1 hour.
Yeah, ours was a few weeks ago. They do it to fuck with us.
Well, we got Trans Visibility Day.
We had some Trans Visibility Day this past Sunday.
For the day of Easter.
Right. Yeah, the day of Christ's resurrection.
Well, the day that's celebrated as his resurrection, just all mixed right. with the, Vicka, you know, the Ishtar, Mesopotamian correlations with Easter, yeah, and stuff. But like I said, all right, we're going on another whole bunny hop. Let's get back to the moon. Sorry.
Thanks, E-Rock.
Yeah.
So yeah, the sun and the moon is really important for that. Like, because it's also, we have to take in account that the storms, the earthquakes, right, the tides, many things depend on these luminaries a lot.
Well, that would probably be, like you said, that the sun is electric, the moon is electromagnetic. Is that what you said?
Exactly.
So the storms, like the storms and the earthquakes are electromagnetic, right?
The sun is like the daylight is very, the heat is very local phenomena, right? If you go higher up, it's very cold. But if you're, it's very hot. Why? Because the sun is electric. It's not a fusion. And what is happening that when the sun comes out, that it interacts with the atmosphere and starts the molecules and the particles in the atmosphere starts moving, start vibrating. That is the reason the heat is created and light is created, right? That's why in a high altitude balloon, it's much dark after a few thousand feet, or even at 30,000 feet, it's cold already.
Well, you can't survive. It's so cold. So are you saying that it's more of the heat that we experience in our environment is more of a reaction from the sun with the particular substrate of Earth, whatever we want to call it, that we're on?
Exactly.
It's, okay, localized.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like it's playing with the molecules in the atmosphere and it interacts when the sun comes out. And that's the reason of the daylight. And then you have the gases, you have the oxygen, you have different gases in the layer. That is the reason you see different colors during the sunset, or different colors, pink, every color, right? Different gases, neon, xenon. So xenon is very similar to daylight. All right. So all this works together to make that day. And that's the part of the sun. And that's the part of giving energy to us. You know, when the sun comes out, it's our bio clock. Naturally, we want to do things and we are energetic. But once the sun goes down, is the magnetic comes up, right? The moon or the magnetic. So we want to go more in hiding, right? You know, relax, take, you know, sleep, right? So it all works.
Is that like the perineum sunning?
The sun is the first cycle which makes the day.
No, I'm talking about when you're... tanning your butthole. We had a guest on that was talking about that.
Yeah,
apparently it gives you tons of energy like first thing in the morning
when you get out there in that, I guess, that Mediterranean sun down where you're at, Vika, and you spread it, you know, and let the sun hit.
The Iowa Talk guys have not tried it. Just
no,
we don't know if it works or not. Have you ever heard of that though?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm gonna be honest with you here. I have on a kayak trip, you know,
tan your butthole.
No, that would be a little difficult on the river on a kayak. But I had the old short shorts on, right?
Yeah.
And I slipped the bean sack out while I was floating down the river on the kayak.
Did it give you more energy? Did you have a better pump on the kayak?
I think the amount of beers that I drank.
Did you get sunburnt?
I forgot sunscreen got sunburnt, and this was July 4th. So
the sun,
you remember how Dr. Slater said, you know, sometimes you should go out and just get a peel, get a good peel, like a reptile.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
On your sack?
Do you remember that? No, not on my sack. That was one of the few parts I could cover.
I do remember when you came back and you were like a lobster.
Right.
Yeah, it was
funny. And I felt like shit for like 3 days.
Yeah, you had like sun poisoning.
Not smart.
Yeah.
Not smart. Anyway.
So yeah, they also speak about like the 20 minutes before sunrise to 20 minutes after sunrise, and then 20 minutes before sunset to 20 minutes after sunset, right? It's the most divine thing to connect with whoever you want to connect, right?
Right.
That's why if you see these hours are very holy.
There's something about that sunlight at sunrise or sunset. You know, I was just down on the Gulf, and you can see each from where I was at. You can see the sunrise and the sunset, and just something about that sunlight when the sun was coming up is...
That's when a lot of religions come out and pray outside at those times, right? Maybe that's why they're commanded to do that.
Yeah.
Because
it feels good.
Those ancient religions know a thing or two about this world that we have no idea about.
Right.
Because they've seen a thing or two.
Yeah. I was just listening to a podcast from our friend Drew. You're missing the point. Yeah. That he did with a buddy of his, Fozzie. And Fozzie was just in...
India.
Yeah, he was in India. I think he's back there now, actually. But I've met him one time on X Spaces and talked to him.
Cool.
He's a freaking hilarious dude. And he was talking about going down into these caves and whatnot. I think it was outside of Mumbai.
Okay.
And they're just carved out of granite. And he's like, dude, history as we know it does not explain what was happening here. These things go back thousands upon thousands of years. And there's just such intricate architecture and whatnot.
Going back to what Vic, you were saying about they want us to believe that, you know, the wheel was only invented just a couple thousand years ago because these people are such primitive morons, right? Although they built these amazing structures all over the freaking face of the earth that we can replicate today.
Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, 11,000 years old, 12,000 years old.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every ancient structure, every ancient city are all aligned to the north, true north. Why? Because it's because they all align with different constellation, and they were all based on a geocentric astronomy. So as you guys say, all these constructions are mind-boggling. Even today, nobody can make them. Position they are, and still today they are aligned, right? Even the pyramid is supposed to be a representation of the northern hemisphere. That is the only hemisphere that exists. If people really dig in, even in the pyramid, there are mats involved which can tell us at least a lot about our realm, like distances. If people really dig in, right? So these people were beyond. Right. They say that there are more than 1,400 books were burnt, right, about technologies.
In Alexandria?
Exactly. And Antikythera Mechanism is just one of those technology. They speak about chronovisors. They speak about technologies, about even literally time traveling with dates or scenes in time, right? Because even this Antikythera Mechanism or similar device is also mentioned in some biblical book. I think in Joshua or something, where he was using an instrument to see where was his brother, because of that, because he had a star machine where he could, you know. So our mind cannot grasp what these people are hiding from us, or what is there in the Vatican, what they have, right, or where they could be. Imagine ourselves being 1,400 years ahead, right? We know the importance of the gear. We need gear for everything. Everything we need the gears.
Yeah, so can you explain why the North Star doesn't move?
It's supposed to be the pole star. It's called Polaris, right? Because it's pole, and that is the reason it's geocentric, and that's how is a marker. It works as a marker, the North Pole, right? It's because it's fixed.
It just stays right there in the center, right?
Exactly. And everything else, all the constellation, all the luminaries move above as we see it.
As we spin 1,000 miles per hour? I'm joking. Yeah.
Nice one.
How does that play?
Oh yeah, they want to invent and say we can see like the real time observation, our perception that what is moving and what is not moving, right? They want us to not believe our senses, and the people who do still believe in a globe, they don't want to believe their senses. We know how the scene is. They could literally put us in your face and nobody want to see it with everything, right? What's been happening. So how the hell they're going to see? People are not ready. It's not their time. You could show all the truth right there, and they're not going to see it.
Right? Yeah, so it's hard for people to wake up and to, I mean, I get it. We've talked about that a lot on our show. To realize that your whole life has been a lie, it's a hard pill to swallow for most people. But going back to the North Star real quick, what E-Rock had brought up, you know, like, yeah, if we're spinning at 1,000 miles per hour, 66,600 miles per hour around the Milky Way and all this other craziness, right? How could that stay consistent over the millennia or whatever, centuries at least? And also, the Mercator map that shows at the North Pole, there's actually a giant iron mountain, black rock, surrounded by four islands. Four rivers are coming from it, and that's where the North Star is pointed to.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because in all ancient cultures, the importance of North Pole can be seen everywhere. You see, in Greeks, it's called the Mount Olympus, right? In Vedics, it's called Mount Meru, right? Here, somebody called Black Rock, some say the Rupus Nigra, some people call it the Cosmic Mountain. There are many stories, legends. The Hyperborea is supposed to be near there, the Shambhala, the Asgard in the Norse cosmology, right? Every cosmology you go into, we have, I've delved into every cosmology in detail, right? That's why even, for example, the Sumerians, right? Why did these people always want to connect Sumerians with the aliens? Why? Because even their cosmology says it's a geocentric flat Earth. That is the reason. And every other Slavic, you take anyone, Norse, Celtic, the Vedics, the Mayans, the Greeks, the Biblical, the Babylonians, anywhere we look, it's the same representation. Why? Because I know why. Because it's the truth comes from one source, the Creator. They all are saying their creation story from in different ways.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought of that as so all those mythical stories when they're talking about this mountain. We were told also that it referred to mountain ranges around Greece or Europe's places or like that. So, but that makes more sense now that they're all referring to this one giant mountain at the North Pole. To me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just blew my mind there. Like, yeah, because we all these stories are the same. All these fallen angel stories. All this stuff. It's just different names.
What? So when we look at something like the Piri Reis map, and so they knew about Antarctica as far back as, when was Piri Reis? 1,000 years, something like that? I don't know. Can't remember. What explains Antarctica? Is that the ice shield on the exterior then? Or?
So there's another map, same like Piri Reis. There's another map called Monte Urbano. It's a very amazing map. And there also they show Antarctica as fertile land. Of ice ring, they show a ring of land with different animals and humans living, right? These both two maps comes from much older sources, much more older sources. So the Antarctica Treaty is not a new treaty. The Antarctica Treaty is more than 500 years old or more, right? If you really take a closer look at the Monte Urbano map, you can see is a part of that pie that everybody shares. Right. If you see our flat Earth map, and if you divide, if you see the latitudes and the longitude, it makes like an azimuthal grid, right? Like it's going, opening up, right, as a triangle in every direction. So the same way, every part that goes is a piece of pie for every nation, right?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a pizza. Nation, Looks like
exactly. So the part of a pizza. It's a slice of a pizza. So everyone has a slice, their own slice, every country. That's why they all are in on it. So the major countries are part of this treaty for more than 500 years. Germany, Italy, and many, many other countries, they already have that part, right? And you can see this. This is made, it is in Latin. You can find this map at David Ramsey. You can find this map called Monte Urbano. So, yeah. Antarctica in itself, it's also like, you know, a mystery in itself, right? Because people say it's ice wall. Some people say it's not even ice, that it could be sea cliffs, right? You guys know about sea cliffs, and sea cliffs could be even white, because even in Scotland or, I don't know, in Iceland, if you look for white sea cliffs, it looks like ice, but it's not ice. It's soil and with greenery above, right? So people say there could be many things, right? Many wants to believe that Antarctica is the end of this earth. The dome ends there, and this is the world, right? This could also be a part of this information of the Flat Earth Society, right? Maybe the ice wall is just some parts, right? And it's not all around. It could be just land beyond, just land like we have here, right?
Yeah,
so,
David.
Many rabbit holes.
David Weiss was talking about that too with us a little bit, and that's something relatively new I've kind of been looking into. But I mean, at this point in the game, in my opinion, anything is possible. Like we know we've all been lied to about everything our entire history. So
that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, why not?
So, do you believe in Operation High Jump?
Oh yeah, he was a Mason. Admiral Byrd was a Mason, because if you're coming on television on mainstream media, you have to be planted, right? There was many different reasons could have been. What my research shows that they were having problem with the neighbors there, because what I understand is that more than we want to go there, they don't want us to go there because they are going to get in trouble. Not we. That's what I understand.
Oh, so yeah. And I'm sure you know all about Operation Fishbowl and all those other fun things that they were doing right after World War II and stuff. So...
Oh, yeah.
But going back to the ancient structures that we have around here that our current society is really ignorant of, Chichen Itza, I found that that's fascinating. I had a chance to visit it, but it didn't work out, unfortunately, but I would love to be able to make a trip down there.
Chichen Itza was a Mayan
city. In Mexico.
In Mexico, present-day Mexico, on the Yucatan.
Right. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's where they found the Mayan calendar. Or they had some type of observation, like where they could observation tower there. Do you know much about Chichen Itza?
Oh yeah, brother. It's also a representation of the North Pole, because if you see them, the natives that side, you're gonna see with a pyramid in the middle, with a disc, a tree on a disc with a pyramid in the middle, and the branches are covering like a dome. Right. It's representing the North Pole. All the pyramids. That's what they're doing. That's the real purpose. And they were workers for the eclipses, for the solstices, for the equinoxes. They work as markers. That's why it was so sacred for them. And yeah, the Mayan calendar too, right? It's another gear technology in a way, because it's gear within gears, doing calculations, timekeeping on a major scale.
Better than we can do today. Done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's... they had that, I mean... It's amazing. Like I said, I've said it for a long time. The ancient world does not get enough credit for their knowledge base.
No, they knew the sky better than us, essentially.
They knew the earth better than us.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important for the powers that be that are controlling this world that we live in, since we are so close to the center, is that we have to be deceived for whatever the heck's coming up, right? Like, they need to be... keeping us stealing our mojo and keeping us distracted, because back then, yeah, these ancient people did all this stuff because they weren't sitting in front of a TV.
Yeah, or their phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of this cycle goes for hundreds and thousands of years. How could they just keep track of everything? How the hell they could do that? You know, with adding the, like, to the right. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Well, even with,
especially, sorry to interrupt, but I mean, you can imagine, like, I've never been to any of these places, but I would love to go. This is where I would go if I traveled to Mexico or Peru. But, you know, like Chichen Itza.
Göbekli Tepe, as you mentioned.
Right. That's pointing to a star. I can't remember the name of that one. But
that one in Peru, yeah, up in the mountains.
The Incas.
Yeah.
Had Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. Thank you, brother. You know, it was pitch black. So at night, I mean, as far as like light pollution, as far as we're concerned in this modern age. So it was like, I mean, it had to just look like a movie. The realness and the closeness with which you could see the sky, you know.
Oh, yeah. And how these people got the stones there, up there, and how they fixed these things, you know. It's
yeah. Chichen Itza is at like 18,000 feet. Or Machu Picchu. It's like 18,000 feet or something like that. I don't know, a few thousand meters.
And they said they quarried it from some valley.
Way down. Yeah. And then trucked it up there on their backs.
Real men.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that the pyramid bricks, they were making it there with the sand and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. But people believe it. Like I said, part of it's cognitive dissonance. The other part is it's a hard pill to swallow to realize that your whole life's been a lie.
If the textbook publication company put it in there, it's got to be true. Has to be.
Well, and like I personally believe, I think all this is all of it. It's all distraction to keep us from the creator, from what our bodies are truly capable of, and what is
into our spiritual,
what this world selves. Actually is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how awesome it is, you know,
convincing us that there is no spirituality, that this physical world is it.
That's it. Yeah. And they wonder why the suicide rates are so high. Well, normal people wonder that.
Please your flesh.
Do it every turn. Follow your heart. Do what feels good.
Yeah. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
And that's what this society is. Do what thou wilt.
Which this is going to be dropping April 8th, which is apparently the same day that Aleister Crowley had that that lamb or whatever, that Anawasa thing.
Awasa? Awaisa?
Yeah, talk.
Shouldn't even say the name.
Yeah, talk. You know about Aleister Crowley, right? On his honeymoon.
In the pyramid of Khufu, we're told.
In the king's chamber, yeah. He performed a
ritual. And
his wife got possessed, and then this being itself that looked similar to a gray alien that we'd call nowadays. You know about that, don't you, Vika?
Yeah, but if people, these places have very high energy, right? The vibration and the energy of these places.
Yeah, that's why he used it.
And that's why they built them there.
Yeah, because they know the power of these energies and vibration that the people connect to. And especially these places have higher energy, right? That's why even the cathedrals, right? They also have the importance. They were also healing centers. The organs, the sound also heals, right? So all this knowledge has been demonized, right? Even the pineal gland and all this stuff is demonized by these people.
Yeah. Right?
This is the reason, because they don't want that the people really connect to the Christ, because I don't know. I just say that the real teaching of Christ is to find the Christ within, right? The Christ is within, and we don't have to look it outside anywhere, right?
Yeah, so, I think that there is scripture that says that Christ is within us, isn't there, TP?
Yeah, there's, and depending on what you believe, there's only one way to get it.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it's like I said, this is it's an amazing world that I truly think that we believe in, and that's really what people should be upset about, is that the fact that these monsters are hiding everything from us, the whole
whole history.
It was like, from my understanding, like this place used to be like the Lord of the Rings, you know.
Yeah, you've mentioned on the show before that, you know, J.R. Tolkien, was you know, writing about a real land and time that existed in age.
Yeah, but that also could have just been part of his character. Not more research going into it. I think that was just part of his skit.
Anyway.
Like Vika said, you don't really get on that level without having certain connections, being in some type of club.
Like the Masons?
Oh, yeah, but... what I meant to say was that these people don't want us to follow the real truth, the real knowledge. This is the thing. Then that's why they mix up everything. right? So what I meant by also waking up, right? Waking up, because, for example, they say Christ Jesus, and the normal people call Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're showing the importance of the Christ within, because that's what they follow. They don't, and the rest, they want us to, everybody else, to go to the church, to read the Bible, to look for salvation outside. I'm not saying against, or because I tell you, I've studied all religion.
Sure.
Yeah. All the religion are the same. I respect and I love all the religion, and I see the similarities more than differences. Mm. I know that it's from the same root, it's the same teaching said in different ways. So what I meant was that the controllers, they always want to push the other thing, which is not the right one, right? So what I meant is like astronomy, astrology, minerals, healing, frequency, vibration. This is all demonized,
yes,
by these controllers,
yep,
so that the people don't use it for themselves, right? There are,
yeah,
but it's been encoded in all the culture. What is Bible? Bible is an astrology book, you know?
And it's a flat earth book too.
Explaining the cosmos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly like any other book.
So how does this relate to like horoscopes and astrology? Do you believe that that has an importance? Impact,
a role to play.
Is it real then,
brother? We could we survive without the sun? Could we? So that's the first one.
No.
So imagine how many are there. You know, they're called angels or angels. The creator said the angels, right? So what happened? These luminaries, they all have frequency and vibrations. They have different frequency and vibration also, right? That's why when we are born, when our sun is in a horoscope, whichever horoscope the sun is, it's the Horus, the scope of Horus, right? Is the scope you are born in. So it's your dial of destiny. If you see a birth chart, you have your sun where you're born, the constellation, the, right? So all these different luminaries and different houses can tell you different things, right? The way, every day is not the same, right? The Sunday is Sunday, the moon is moon day, right? The Tuesday have Mars energy, right? So all these vibration frequency affects us. And the angles they are to us on a particular day also affects, right? Even if you want to believe or not, right? Yeah, but sorry.
Well, no. And that's, that goes along with saying, you know, we, in the Bible, once again, it says we are all created for a purpose, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would that not be one of the things like, hey, because, I mean, Jesus was born under signs in the sky.
Yeah. Which is why the men from the east traveled there over the course of a couple years.
Which was, turned out probably was like planets aligning, right? Yeah. The brighter ones creating a massive star that, yeah, I mean.
They're, like they're about to again.
So, yeah, craziness coming up. So, sorry, we completely bunny hopped again. But this is important stuff to talk about, though, so it's good. We're having an awesome conversation. But the moon, so with this eclipse coming up, is that actually the moon going in front of the sun, do you think? Or is that like a black hole sun?
Black hole sun, won't you come?
Like Soundgarden?
So there are flat earthers who think that is the moon, right? I know flat earthers who think that is the moon. You don't see it because it's not charged, right? It's zero charge. That's why maybe you don't see it. What I think is maybe it's near, right? My reason, opinion, like as I mentioned about the phases, similar thing is happening. For me, it's the north end playing the part as the tree of life, right? Imagine a sun going through behind the trees, right? And those branches are the electromagnetic fields of the North Pole, and which makes that distortion, right? It's have a scientific term called Faraday effect. What it means is when light interacts with electromagnetics, it creates distortion, right? You don't see that light. So I think it's the North Pole. The electromagnetic field is playing a part, but we are always open for more research and more different ways to understand it. So I think also there could be other luminaries. I don't buy into Rahu and Ketu another celestial bodies, right? There might be, maybe I'm wrong, right? Some people say it's the nodes. Some people say it's the Rahu and Ketu invisible body, right? That's totally independent to the black sun, right? We are speaking about these black bodies that they, so there are different opinion like on that.
Nibiru, my opinion, or something, yeah. Maybe?
No, they speak more about this Rahu and Ketu. And Rahu and Ketu in Vedic literally means it's an effect more than something physical like the other luminaries, right?
Oh,
if you
okay.
really dig in Rahu and Ketu, it's an effect, just an effect. Right. So, and what I think is the electromagnetic fields of the North Pole. That is the reason which is creating this Faraday effect of distortion, because all are orbs, all are light, all the luminaries. Yeah.
Now, would that go back to like crop circles too? Do you think that's relatable
to like what's going on with like the electromagnetics yes, with the sun and stuff? Oh.
To create that. How do you
explain? How do they explain though?
So do you think that, are you asking us, like, do you think that's something natural that happens, or?
Yeah.
I'm not very sure about the crop circle, you know, because some of the designs are really complex to happen by itself with the wind. There could be the simpler ones, could be some phenomena like that, because if you see the spiral is the way the nature communicates, right? The Fibonacci.
Or, Iraq, so, are you asking, is that like some type of interruption in this magnetic field? Related to like the sun
that would cause that energy
in certain spot, you know?
Just like sound waves, you know, when they put the
kinematics,
they're like spots, kinematics. Okay, certain spots on and areas get affected,
yeah, hot spots, yeah, of energy.
That's interesting,
quite possible because from the spiral, it's the sacred geometry, any form can come of that. If you really go on the micro level of the sacred geometry, anything could come out from that circles, right?
Because you came
like kinematic.
You came into this world with the extraterrestrial, correct?
What?
Your conspiracy journey, or
oh,
Mika. Okay.
I was into extraterrestrial before I was a flat earther.
Yeah. So now your opinion has changed?
Oh yeah, brother. All the games, all the movies is all a rip-off from this extra lands and extraterrestrial other humanoids that inhabit this surrounding and above us, right? Depending on the densities and part of evolution they are, right? Because the lower we are in the lower realms, the away we are from the creator, the more near, higher we are, on different stages of evolution, different species, humanoids, hybrids, ETs, if you want to call it, or even the grays, maybe some kind of organic, you know, I've seen crazy stuff, right? I've seen crafts, I've seen
demons. So, I think they're demons.
Demons?
I don't know.
I don't know. They could be just different, because I think
interdimensional.
This realm, I'm not saying maybe, yeah, these eyes can only see what we can see, right? But that the human is capable of seeing with different eyes, that you can perceive dimensions and beings that are, you know, could be dark and they could be demon, but it's demon or angel, it's our frequency, right? When we are having this kind of experience of dark experience, because we are supposed to go through those vibration and frequency to learn the light, right? If we want to be the light, the darkness is going to surround us. We have to be prepared to be around darkness to be the light, because we don't need a light when the sun is shining. We need light when it's dark, right? So demon, angels, I have nothing to do with Christianity, but I had an experience where I literally met the seraphim. I don't know what you guys think about the seraphim, but... You know, I have nothing to do, right?
Please do tell if you don't mind. Wow, that's wild.
Well, first of all, start off with what are seraphims?
Well, the seraphims, I think what I understand is they are supposed to be one of the highest angels of the in biblical cosmology. They are the ones who are supposed to guard the throne of the God, of the creator, right? They are the fiery ones. They are the burning ones, right? So nothing. I just had a premonition that I was supposed to see them, and after a week I saw them and I had an experience with fire, right? Crazy stuff. Yeah. And yeah, it was kind of a test. for me, I'm also kind of a Scorpio, right? At my stage of life, maybe it was the moment of the rising phoenix, right? It was quite an incident with fire, and I was tested, and I stood the test, right?
Wow.
And also it was time of my releasing the documentary, The Mechanical Ram. Was the test that was I really worth to give this message, right? So yeah, a lot of things. I have a whole podcast on my channel about that, meeting the Seraphim.
Okay, well, we'll go check it out, and we'll be putting your links in our description for this for sure. But
yeah, we'll have you rattle through all of that at the end as well.
Yeah, and you know, not disagreeing with you, like, I personally believe they're the Nephilim, there's fallen angels, they're because I think there's interdimensional spiritual beings, like almost like a virus on a computer type stuff going on.
Agent Smith.
Yeah, but there's also physical, yeah, different physical stuff happening that we can't explain, and physical creatures that have technology that would be magic to us, right? I mean, just like any native islander, that we would show up with a cell phone, they'd be like, this is black magic.
If we showed up to Sentinel Island and they happened to not kill us with bows and arrows and spears, you know, they would think it was witchcraft.
Right. But I think it's interesting that you had that experience and going through the flames, the fire, the test, the trial, and it correlated with the same time that you released your documentary, because, you know,
spiritual warfare.
When the truth comes to light, the enemy does not like that. The enemy camp doesn't like that stuff happening. Uh-huh. And I think one of the greatest things that they have done in our timeline that we're living in now is they've convinced everybody that they've never existed. They still want you to kind of know about it in their myths and legends, but they basically are like, no, that was just myth and legend. Nothing. We're not here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I could say that, yeah, it's a intelligent design. It's a beautiful creation. It's very precise. It's very, how do you say, beautiful, sacred, holy, right? I had had many different experiences like that, but that was just one of the experiences. What I mean to say is that, yeah, in the end of the day, we are not material, right? We think we are material. We think this is the reality.
We are, right? We are a little bit more, or a lot more than the dust of the earth, if you will.
Oh, yeah, but we are. That fractal, brother, we all are part of that creator, right? This is what we forget, right? We have to connect to that.
The life force behind all of us. The life force that keeps this universe together. The law.
The laws that our physical beings, our bodies have to abide by.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it is this divine. And it is true. And if it wasn't, this would just be flung into chaos.
Yeah, like going back to your mechanical realm. This, none of this happened by accident. There's no way.
It's too complex. And as Vika did such a great job, an eloquent job of explaining earlier, everything works together way too well, right?
Yeah.
You know, we plant seeds in the ground, and bacteria in the soil is healthy that help the plants, and
as long as you're getting the sunlight,
keep just going on down the chain, and it all works together. It's all amazing.
Yeah. So, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying absolutely adding to what you guys are saying.
Well, man, this has been crazy. I guess the last thing I really want to talk about here is do you find it interesting that NASA is firing rockets at the eclipse, and they're firing up CERN as well? So the day that this airs, all this craziness is happening.
CERN will be firing up, and they will be firing rockets.
Just three of them. One before, one during at the height, and then one after. It's the APEP. I can't remember what the acronym is. We'll have Jeeves help us.
Atmospheric perturbations around eclipse path. Very clever, you assholes.
They said they want to use it to, they're trying to collect data on how the solar eclipse affects the atmosphere.
You know anything about that, Vika?
Oh, yeah. The eclipses are portal. They know very well. They're going to hype things up. They might even do some crap. We don't know, right? They might take advantage of those energies that are happening right now during the eclipses.
It's a portal? You just kind of blew my mind there.
Yeah, these are portals, right? These kind of, when this happens, these eclipses or some alignments, or when the equinoxes and solstices, these are all portals. When you do things, things really connect, right?
Hey,
and
before we cut this off, go down this one. Go down this one for us. Keep going, if you would.
Yeah, so as astronomy and astrology comes into play, again, like the frequency and energy works on the human race. That's why the timekeeping was important. Göbekli Tepe, Stonehenge, these were all calendars, timekeeping machines. Why? Because the importance of these frequencies and energy of these luminaries when they are in particular constellations and zodiac, and when the eclipses and the solar are the lunar eclipses, right? So they do the ceremony, they do their work. Even positive work done on a day, on the right day, can work, right? When things are not supposed to work, it's not working. Do whatever you want to do, right? But when things are supposed to happen, it's going to happen. Why? Because those angles are in harmony with you. Those angels are in harmony with you. Those luminaries, those portals, the cardinal points are the doors. Speaks about all these cardinal points, the portals, right?
So are they different portals to different places depending on the different times, or are they portals like to what, the heavenly realms, maybe portals to the otherly realms, the outer realms?
Exactly. And also to get from the heavens, right?
Okay,
that's why.
So that things are going in and out of these.
No, I mean, portal means that is some kind of energy and vibration is coming from the heavens to do things on this physical material, three-dimensional reality. So there are races who understand how these things work and use to their advantage. That's why when I spoke about those ancient sites and constructions are all aligned to these things and equinoxes and solstices is the reason, because they have functions for healing, for wisdom, for knowledge, for everything. That's why these points and these places are still in use today, right? Including the cathedrals, because there are points, even
and the that energy. That makes more sense why they would want to keep that hidden from us.
These energies.
Yeah. They want us to be sick and miserable and depressed.
And controlled.
And controlled. Yeah, just for their own personal sick gain, or like I said, another reason. Who knows? Man, that's wild.
How they're warning us, like, about all these catastrophes.
Yeah, because one's weird. They're warning us about this one.
I personally believe that's part of, like, their ritual, the black magic spells that they have to do. Like, you know, they got to go through the ritual. That's part of it.
Telling us, disclosing to us.
Yeah.
Exactly. And maybe things wouldn't happen on that day, but maybe it starts something on that day, right? That is going to take an effect. A good point for them. A marker.
Wow. Dude.
Mind bender.
You gave us a lot to chew on tonight, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great chat, guys.
No, likewise. Dude,
yeah, no, we really appreciate this. This is a definitely
a great 100.
Yeah, this is perfect for our 100th episode.
Absolutely.
Dude. We really appreciate this, man. That's awesome.
Vika, if you're ever in the States, man, hit us up.
Yeah. We'll see what's going on, see if we can't do something. But could you go ahead for our listeners, let them know where to find you.
Oh, yeah. You can find me anywhere. Vikat Raziv on all different social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook. I'm more active on Facebook. I run a page, Vikat Raziv Truth in Plain Sight on Facebook. But I'm on all different platforms, including also YouTube. Yep. And the most important, if you search the two documentaries, The Flatten the Curve or The Mechanical Ram, you can also find me.
And yeah, we'll have those. You have a link tree too, don't you?
No. I have not made it yet, but yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, we'll post links to your Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter on our description, so that people can go find you and check out your stuff. And we're also gonna post a link to our brother from the Great White North,
David Wavy.
David Wavy. Yeah, you guys did a show together a little while back, which was funny. Because you had already reached out to us and we were talking about, we had scheduled the date for the show. And then next thing I know, you and Davey are doing a show on Red Pill Cartel. And I was like, oh, holy crap. Small world. Funny how that works out, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Instagram, we all are following each other, all the many podcasts, so for sure.
Yeah, it's right. Awesome. I love this community. It's great, dude.
You're our first European interview.
Yeah.
So that's badass. It's a big milestone for us.
Yeah, that is also, yeah.
What do we have? We have Australia,
Canada,
North America, and then Europe is, here we go.
Well, we're about to have one in India.
Yeah, I got to get the India scheduled.
So,
but that's going to be a big one as well.
Yeah.
Well, heck, Vika, it's been a pleasure.
It's been great.
Sure, guys. That was absolutely a pleasure to be on the 100th episode. Absolutely loved it. The conversation was amazing. This could continue for more. Definitely would love to pass by again on absolutely. Iowa Talk Show, guys.
Yes, we're going to have to
amazing
do that.
Amazing show. Amazing work. Keep doing, guys. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vika.
All right. So for everybody, you can follow us on Instagram at IowaTalkGuys_podcast.
You can follow us on X at IowaTalkGuys.
Twitter.
And on Rumble and YouTube at IowaTalkGuys.
You can find us at IowaTalkGuys.com.
Yep. We're going to get it polished up, folks. Don't judge us. It's going to come. Also, please like, follow, subscribe, share. Share with your friends and family.
Yeah. Share with your weird cousins.
Yeah. Share with your weird cousins' friends. They'll like it.
Yeah, they will too.
Guaranteed.
For sure. And always remember, don't eat the yellow cake.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
And don't take 2 weeks to watch Flatten the Curve.
There we go. All right. Vika?
Are you speaking from personal experience there, E-Rock?
2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Oh, yeah, I got you now. The right other reference of that awesome title. All right. Vika, what do you have for everybody, partner?
Well, I could say that don't be sleepy. Yeah, wake up. It's time to wake up.
There you go. There we go.
That's solid a great one.
Advice.
Don't
be sleepy. It's time to wake up.
Episode 100. Don't be sleepy. It's time to wake up with Vika Drazeev.
Iowa Talk Guys. Out.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
I'd rather be here. So thank you very much. Very nice. Appreciate it.